Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game, which is Cowboys versus Raiders. So head on up to Kentucky, catch Chase and Big Joe, and catch Monday Night Football, because who the hell knows, you may still not have ESPN on YouTube TV by Monday. But let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mitch Light of The Athletic to preview the weekend ahead in college football. And Mitch, yesterday we spent a considerable amount of time discussing the potential brand bias, with Notre Dame being 9th in the CFP rankings, Vanderbilt being 14th in the rankings, despite maybe having similar resumes. Where do you stand on this hot button issue?
That's a good question. And unlike our friend Derek, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Dang it, come on.
And I think we all have biases. We all have been watching college football for a long time, so it's difficult for a lot of people to sit there and say, wait, could Vanderbilt with two losses be better than Notre Dame with two losses? I don't know how much of that is a factor. I would like to think that people in the committee room, especially, former coaches who kind of just can look at a resume and kind of use the phrase appreciate ball, wouldn't do that. I can look at Notre Dame's resume and say, yeah, I can see why Notre Dame should be two or three spots ahead. And I can look at Vanderbilt's and say the same thing. Like, rational people can disagree. I think in the end, sure, it matters some. It's difficult. Like, I'll be quick with this. When I was at Athlon Sports for years, when I first started there in the early 2000s, we made college football predictions. Every year we would have Florida State in the top five because Florida State had that amazing run. And then after being wrong for two or three years, we'd be like, you know what? Florida State's not good anymore. We have to move past our biases and what we think is going to happen, that they're going to turn it around just because they have talent. So to answer your question, I think it's a part of everyone's mindset, but in the end, I don't think it'll be the real differentiator.
A lot of fabulous matchups in college football this weekend. The one I'm looking forward to most, number 10 Texas at number 5 Georgia. And I know a lot of Vanderbilt fans will be watching that game because the Commodores need the Longhorns to keep losing. So what do you make of this matchup? What's your early read on Texas at Georgia?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting the way you phrase that. And I agree with you, Adam, but it's like part of the strength of Vanderbilt's resume is, only two losses at Texas and at Georgia. So wouldn't you want Texas to keep winning?
True.
But then obviously you want them to fall behind Vanderbilt. I think it's a fascinating game from a Texas standpoint, because if you're a Texas fan, you say, okay, we had that off week. We got back. We lit up Vanderbilt, who's good, and Arch looked great. And then you look at what Auburn did to Vanderbilt and you say, maybe our offense didn't get right. Maybe that was a Vanderbilt thing. So because Georgia's been susceptible. We saw what Tennessee did to them in the passing game. So that to me is going to be the biggest part of this game. Can Texas move the ball against a good but not great Georgia defense? Georgia has been living right this year. Give them all the credit for making plays, but they've been flirting with disaster. Really, last week against Mississippi State was probably the only real complete game, and I know they didn't play great for four quarters. But I'll cop out. I'll go with the easy answer and say Georgia at home. But I think what Texas does offensively is the story of this game and will be the story going forward for Texas.
Mitch Light of The Athletic is joining us talking about college football. Mitch, my beloved ACC is a hot mess right now.
It is in
college football. I have no idea how this thing is going to shake out. If you had to put on your, let's call it your prognosticating glasses, your fortune-telling glasses, I don't know, some sort of glasses, how do you see the ACC shaking out?
Yeah, I don't have all of the schedule in front of me. I've looked, I think this is Miami, to me, is still the best team, but the best team needs to win games, and they have some troubling losses, and they've kind of, it's been a similar story for them. I still think Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech has slipped up really only once. They were horrible defensively against NC State there. If they can stay healthy and if Haynes Keene stays healthy, I think they're the best team. But again, you got five teams with one loss. The nightmare scenario, which you guys have probably talked about, is that your Duke Blue Devils figuring out how to win this league and then have a resume with four losses, including a loss to UConn, that would be the worst scenario for the league. But it's fun to watch from the outside, Adam, but if you're a fan of the league, it's probably not fun.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with Duke winning a conference championship, regardless of what happens. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, tell that to Jim Phillips, the commissioner.
Now, Mitch, listen, a lot of this we've been talking about this week has had sort of this Vandy sort of attachment, because I think, you know, Notre Dame and Texas, I think what they do moving forward does affect Vanderbilt. But
sure,
there's another team that, as I start to think about it more and more, why don't they have the same argument? Say, if they beat Vanderbilt, and I'm talking about UT.
Yeah.
They're three losses. Close to Oklahoma, close to Georgia. We know how that one was. And now the Alabama game, it was what it was. And I do hold that against them. But if Texas can make the argument about their close losses and say they end up 9-3, why can't UT make that same argument? Is it because of the Alabama loss and how it looked?
It's the lack of good wins.
Okay.
Texas, what Texas has going forward is a three.
Even if
Texas,
they beat Vanderbilt,
a three-loss Texas would include a win over Georgia at Georgia or Texas A&M, which would be a tremendous win. The problem with Tennessee is their wins. Like, the cumulative record of the teams that Tennessee has won is not very good. You know, they beat Mississippi State, they beat Arkansas, they beat Kentucky. It's just, they are a good team. We can watch college football and say, yes, they are a good team, but they've done nothing to prove they are a great team. You know, if Gunnar Stockton doesn't hit London Humphreys on that fourth down play in the corner of the end zone in that game in Knoxville, we're talking about Tennessee in a completely different light. Mm-hmm. But the game happened, and it's just their resume, there's just not enough there for a three-loss Tennessee team to be strongly considered.
Okay, with that being said, we tout the SEC as this juggernaut of a conference. Like, they're better than any conference. You put them all together, the SEC still better than any conference. Well, them beating Arkansas, Mississippi State within the conference, Kentucky, shouldn't that be good for them? But now it's being you. And it's just the contrary to what you're saying. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm saying, if we consider the SEC the top conference, then beating the team within the SEC, it's much better than, say, somebody in the ACC beating one of their conference foe, or the Big Ten, or the Big 12.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, but just unfortunately, they've and they'll have wins over Florida and Vanderbilt in your scenario,
exactly,
too.
Mm-hmm.
But Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Kentucky are probably the three worst teams in the league. I know Kentucky beat Auburn, and then Florida is playing like the worst team. Florida got run off the field there. So there's just, The SEC's strength is in this year is the middle of the league. It's depth, and the top teams are good. They're not as good as usual, but you can't argue the teams at the bottom have not been great this year. I get what you're saying. There's just not enough there in the argument. If it's a 16 team field in a few years, maybe we're talking about a three-loss Tennessee. But in this scenario right now, especially with, you know, a group of five team getting in, where you're not just being one of the best 12 teams in the country, you're probably this year have to be one of the best 10 teams in the country.
Now, regardless of how the season finishes for Vandy, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, in regards
sure
to winning, yeah. But when it comes to Diego Pavia in the Heisman Trophy, being not just winning it, but actually just being there, is it going to take for him to beat Kentucky and UT, is it going to take for him to beat those teams, or does he need to have a moment and just win that UT game?
Yeah, nothing happens in a vacuum. Obviously, mm-hmm, we have to see what the other candidates
exactly
do. I think he could get there, a finalist with a 9-3 team. Let's just say they beat Kentucky and he does fine. That Tennessee game, you know, I don't know yet if it's a 2:30 ABC game, but for that will be on national TV. There will be a lot of eyes on that game for a Vanderbilt team trying to make the playoff, which we thought, you know, heading into the year would be unheard of. If he throws for 350 yards and four touchdowns in a classic back-and-forth game where the nation's watching, I think, sure, that would not hurt him. I'm not going to sit here and say Vanderbilt has to go to the playoff for Diego Pavia to be a Heisman finalist. I think what he did in the Auburn game, kind of reaffirmed, because the deal with Diego all year was, okay, maybe his counting stats aren't as good as some of these other guys. Vanderbilt plays more of a ball control offense, and we know his value to the team, but the fact that he went out there and threw for 300-plus, ran for 100-plus, had, four touchdowns in a kind of a high-profile game, I think that kind of turned some heads as well.
Now, how long will it take for not just the committee, but I think, other people that follow college football and that talk about it, how long is it going to take them to realize, because of the new landscape of college football, meaning NIL, that the brand may not mean what it used to mean, because it doesn't mean the same to these kids. What matters to these kids is how much you're going to give me. They don't care about your brand anymore. It's how much you're going to give me. How long is it going to take everybody else to realize, hey, listen, maybe this is just the way it's going to be. So you can have a Vandy that's been bad for so long. Now they're going to consistently, not say compete for a national championship, but they're going to consistently be a player within the SEC.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of learns at their own pace. And I admit, mm-hmm. My story earlier about always thinking Florida State was going to be good. It took me a while to realize that, but your question is pertinent because it's a different era now. So, it's tough to get past certain things that we think we know about sports, but I'll just say, as someone who's inside and follows closely, I pay attention to recruiting far less than I did 4 years ago. If I knew that Alabama had X amount of five stars, there's just no way that Alabama was not going to be better than this other team. But now, the way it works with the transfer portal and all that stuff, I've kind of retrained my brain. I think it's going to take a lot of people several years and more Vanderbilts, other teams like that, to come out of nowhere before we kind of realize that, hey, the landscape really has changed.
Mitch Lett of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Thursday during college football season to help us preview the weekend and, of course, college football. Mitch, thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up next week.
All right, talk to you guys later. See ya.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on all of the college football action. Again, some really great games in the SEC, specifically Texas at Georgia, Oklahoma at Alabama, another huge game with major CFP implications. And of course, Vanderbilt's off. They play next week against Kentucky. So we'll see what happens. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll attempt to answer the question we were going to answer earlier. Outside of Cam Ward, which Titans player has the most to prove in the second half of the season? We'll take your thoughts. We'll give ours. That's coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.